Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast, in particular, The Amazing World of Radio. Tomorrow, a new series, Man of a Thousand Voices premieres, featuring two actors who could perform entire radio plays all by themselves. We'll be featuring such plays with either Paul Frees or Frank Graham. Check it out at The Amazing World of Radio, amazing.greatdetectives.net, and you can find all of the other podcasts that I do related to old-time radio and also public domain video theater over at greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of Mr. Chameleon. The original air date, April the 19th, 1950, and this one is The Insured Jewels Murder Case.
Next, Mr. Chameleon and the Insured Jewels Murder Case. Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters in his famous cases of crime and murder, brought to you by the makers of genuine Bayer aspirin. Mr. Chameleon, as you know, is the famous and dreaded detective who frequently uses a disguise to track down a killer, a disguise which at all times is recognized by the audience. Tonight, we give you Mr. Chameleon in the Insured Jewels murder case. As the scene opens, we see an attractive but worldly young woman seated at a table with a fabulous display of jewels spread out before her. She has a pencil in hand, and as she picks up each priceless jewel, she writes its description and value on a sheet of paper. She is Irene Bradford, and she is about to be plunged into a strange and puzzling murder. For at that moment, the ominous finger of fate is about to press the bell outside her door.
You're late, Lyle. Come in, quick.
One kiss, darling, before I tell you why.
Oh, we'll have a lifetime of kisses together, Lyle. If I can get away with what I'm doing.
Irene, what's the idea of all your jewels out on the table?
I've been making a list of them for the insurance company, dear.
Well, you don't mean they're not insured.
Of course they're insured. And you and I are going to collect the insurance on them.
Collect the insurance on them? How?
Wait till I get them back in this box. Then I'll explain. There. Now you take the box, Lyle. Then help me pull everything in this room apart.
Say, what is this?
We're going to make this apartment look like a robbery of my jewels has occurred. Now start by pulling out the drawers in that chest.
But Irene...
I'll start with this chest over here. Hurry, Lyle. Now pull out every drawer you see and turn everything upside down.
Are you mad, Irene?
Oh, don't waste time talking. Now... Help me pull those pictures off the wall. And that mirror. Smash it.
Looks like a wrecking crew has been here.
Now, take the box of jewels and get out, Lyle. My darling husband may come home any minute now.
Jeffrey? Well, I thought he was out of town.
No, he came back this morning.
What do I do with the jewels?
Take them to this address and give them to a man named Benedict. He's a fence.
You mean a receiver of stolen goods? Oh, I'm Irene.
There's nothing to be afraid of, darling. I've got everything arranged. But hurry.
All right. I'll start moving.
Watch out. Someone's at the door. I think it's Jeffrey.
Oh, good heavens.
Go out the back way. Wait for me at Benedict's. I'll be there very soon.
Okay. At Benedict's.
Irene.
Oh, is that you, Jeffrey?
Yes, open the door. You've got the bolt set.
Are you sure you're Jeffrey?
Of course. Open the door.
Oh, Jeffrey, Jeffrey.
What's happened, Irene?
I'm so frightened. Burglars have been here.
Oh, did they hurt you?
No, no, I wasn't here. I found the place this way when I came home.
Well, it's a shambles. Did they get off with anything?
Yes. They took all my jewels.
What? Your jewels?
Yes, all of them. But I'm not worried about them.
Not worried about them?
The jewels are insured. I'll get the insurance money and buy others.
I'm afraid you won't, Irene.
What?
The insurance is made out to me. It's in my name, not yours.
What difference does that make?
All the difference in the world, my dear double-crossing wife.
But they were my jewels.
Wrong again, Irene. They were family jewels that belonged to my mother. I merely let you wear them.
Oh, what a beast you are, Jeffrey.
Maybe a beast, but not entirely a fool.
You're a selfish, dreadful creature. That insurance money is mine. I'll sue you.
Go ahead. I won't. Say, what's that list on the table?
Why, I was making out a list of my jewels to give the insurance company.
And what's this? Ambrose Benedict, Canal Street. Seems to me I read something about that man not long ago in the newspapers. I think he was arrested as a receiver of stolen goods.
Why, I don't know where that paper came from. One of the robbers must have left it.
If he did, darling, his handwriting is exactly like yours.
Like mine?
That's what I said, Irene. Like yours.
It's not. It's not!
And a short time later, as Mr. Chameleon, the astute and dreaded detective, enters his office at police headquarters, he finds the commissioner of police waiting for him, and he says...
Oh, hello, Commissioner. Anything up?
Yes, Chameleon, a man's been murdered. A man named Lyle Martin.
Lyle Martin murdered? I know something about him. A bad boy. Where was he killed?
You'll be surprised when I tell you, Chameleon. He was shot down practically on Ambrose Benedict's doorstep.
Ambrose Benedict, the big fence?
Mm-hmm.
Well, well.
I sent Detective Dave Arnold out there. He's waiting for you now.
Good, good. Well, I'll go out there immediately, Commissioner.
See you later.
With the murderer, I hope, Chameleon. Good luck.
Here's the body, Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, that's Lyle Martin, all right, Dave. Did you find anything on him?
Nothing much, Mr. Chameleon. You know whose house we're in front of?
Yes. Ambrose Benedict's.
I wonder what Lyle Martin was doing here.
That's what I'm going to ask Benedict. Not that I expect him to tell me.
I had a go at him myself, Mr. Chameleon, but he says he'd never seen Lyle Martin before.
Good evening. I assume you are Mr. Chameleon. I'm Ambrose Benedict.
Well, if you're not, the police pictures I've seen of you are of the wrong man.
Is that what you came to talk about, Mr. Chameleon? Pictures?
What brought that murdered man to your house, Benedict?
How should I know? He was probably passing by and somebody knocked him off. He wasn't in here.
No?
And what's more, he's a total stranger to me. Never even heard his name until your partner, Detective Arnold, told me. Lyle Martin, I think he said.
Just to keep you posted, Benedict, he had a girlfriend, according to the Broadway columnist.
Girlfriend? What about it?
Well, this one was married to a rich man named Jeffrey Bradford.
Bradford? Never heard that name either, Mr. Chameleon.
About 30 minutes before the murder, the Continental Insurance Company reported the robbery of over $250,000 in jewels from the Bradford house.
That's news to me, too.
It's a strange coincidence, isn't it, Benedict?
Coincidence? How?
Oh, strange the boyfriend of the robbed lady should be murdered outside your house. It gives me ideas.
If they're about me, Mr. Chameleon. I've told you I don't know the murdered guy, I don't know the Bradford dame, and I don't know anything about any stolen jewels.
Put it on a phonograph record, Benedict, and send it to me, will you? Good night. Oh, here you are, Dave. See, they've picked up the body.
Just this minute, Mr. Chameleon. Get anything from Benedict?
Well, I'll tell you about it, Dave, on the way over to our next stop.
Where's that?
At the probably unhappy home of Jeffrey Bradford and his wife, Irene. You're Mrs. Jeffrey Bradford?
Yes, Irene Bradford.
My name is Chameleon, and this is Detective Arnold.
How are you?
Oh, you've come about my stolen jewels. Well, you can see what the robbers did to the place, almost tore it to pieces. And every piece of jewelry I owned was stolen.
Is your husband home, Mrs. Bradford?
My husband? Why, yes, he just came home.
Oh, then he was out.
At his office, I think. I'll call him. Oh, Jeffrey, come here.
Yes, dear. What is it?
This is Mr. Chameleon and Detective Arnold about the robbery.
No, not about the robbery, Mr. Bradford. About murder.
Murder?
Murder? Who?
A man named Lyle Martin. You know him?
Very slightly, Mr. Chameleon. But I think my wife knew him rather well. Didn't you, dear?
No better than you did, Jeffrey.
I'd question that.
You seem a bit edgy, Mr. Bradford.
Edgy? What makes you think that?
Well, from the way your hand keeps going to your coat pocket.
I hadn't noticed.
What is it you're trying so hard to conceal? Let me have it, please.
It's something of my wife's.
Let me say it, please.
It's nothing of mine.
All right, Irene, have it your own way. Here it is, Mr. Comedian.
Ah. Ambrose Benedict. 1130 Canal Street.
I don't know what it is, Mr. Chameleon.
Well, it's the name of a notorious receiver of stolen goods, Irene, and the address where Lyle Martin was murdered.
Now I'm beginning to catch on, Irene.
Catch on to what, Mr. Bradford?
Nothing.
Oh, really?
I know what he has in his mind, Mr. Chameleon.
You know?
He's trying to make you think Lyle Martin stole my jewels and was taking them to Ambrose Benedict to sell them.
In other words, attempting to make you look suspicious?
Certainly.
Well, now, why should he do that? Strange way for a husband to act.
Well, if you ask me...
Irene, be quiet. You're getting hysterical.
No, let her go on, Mr. Bradford.
If you ask me, I think my husband and Lyle Martin made off with my jewels themselves and turned this place upside down to make it look like a robbery.
What?
Well, coming back to my first question, Irene, why should your husband have done that?
Because he had my jewels insured in his favor for $200,000.
That true, Mr. Bradford?
Yes. But they weren't Irene's jewels. They were my mother's.
Was the murdered man here this afternoon, Mr. Bradford?
Not that I know of, Mr. Chameleon.
Irene, was he?
I've already told you I think he was. With my husband.
That's a lie.
Where were you when Lyle Martin was murdered, Mr. Bradford?
I was at my office.
You, Irene?
Right here in this room, Mr. Chameleon.
In due course, I'll give both you and your husband a chance to prove
that. Well, I can prove it all right, Mr. Chameleon.
And I can, too.
Well, if you can, you'll knock my theory of this murder into a cocked hat.
What theory?
Any cop the first day on his beat could see by looking at this room that the robbery was faked. No professional would tear a room apart this way, including pulling that mirror off the wall.
Oh.
Either one of you could have sent Lyle Martin to the fence, Ambrose Benedict, with the jewels, and then murdered him there.
Don't try that, Chameleon.
It's only a theory, Mr. Brentford. Only a theory. We're having Ambrose Benedict's place searched now.
Then I'll get my jewelry back, Mr. Chameleon.
No, I'd not say that, Irene. Benedict is too smart to keep hot jewels in his house for the police to find.
Oh, but...
That's all for now. Good night. Come along, Dave.
What a pair of turtle doves they are, Mr. Chameleon.
Not nice people, Dave. A faked robbery, an eternal triangle, and a murder.
With that fence, Ambrose Benedict in it up to his neck.
Dave, there's one other important suspect in the case who hasn't appeared on the scene yet.
Well, who's that?
The murdered man's widow, Mrs. Lyle Martin.
What? I didn't know he had a wife.
Not only had one, but she was in the courts with him last year. And that's where we're going now.
I'm glad you came to me, Mr. Chameleon. If you hadn't, I'd have come to you.
Oh, indeed, Mrs. Martin. May I introduce Detective Dave Arnold?
How do you do?
How are you?
You were saying?
I was saying I'd have come to you, Mr. Chameleon. I think I know why my husband Lyle was murdered.
Really?
It may sound fantastic, but it's true. Believe me, it's true.
Oh, I haven't any reason not to believe anything you say, Mrs. Martin.
Well, here's what happened. This afternoon, my husband Lyle stopped by here in a great rush.
About 6 o'clock?
Why, yes. And he had a box filled with jewels.
What?
He told me Irene Bradford had given them to him to pawn for.
This is fantastic.
I told him to be careful what that woman put him up to, but... Well, he just laughed at me.
Mrs. Martin, are you sure what you're saying is true?
I think this will prove it, Mr. Chameleon. Look at it.
A big emerald ring.
He said Irene would never miss it. I said to get it out of the house, but he just threw it in this box and left.
I'll take this emerald ring.
Listen, lady, where are the rest of those jewels? You better hand them over.
He took the rest of them with him, Detective Arnold.
Oh, he did he?
Mrs. Martin.
Yes, Mr. Chameleon.
Your name is Joan Martin, isn't it?
Well, yes, why?
You and your murdered husband were in the courts last year on a non-support charge, I believe.
That's true, but the judge dismissed the case as ridiculous.
As ridiculous?
Well, I was the one who was doing the supporting. You could trust Lyle never to work if there was a woman anywhere to support him. But I loved him.
You didn't by any chance kill him, did you, Joan?
I know you don't believe I did, Mr. Chameleon. The person who killed Lyle was Irene Bradford. And before I finished, I'll prove it.
Mr. Chameleon and the insured Jewels murder case continues in just a moment. At the first sign of a cold, before you do anything else, take Bayer aspirin. Here's why. When you have a cold, it's almost invariably accompanied by a headachy, feverish feeling and muscular aches and pains, and it's important to your well-being that you treat these distressing symptoms with a medication that will relieve them quickly, and Bayer aspirin will do this. No matter how you try to stop or shorten a cold, we believe that your own doctor will tell you that this is sound advice, and when you use Bayer aspirin, you'll discover why millions have followed this advice with remarkable results. For Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work in 2 seconds to bring you amazingly quick relief to make you feel better. In addition, Bayer aspirin's single active ingredient is so gentle to the system, doctors prescribe it even for small children. That's why it's been used by millions of normal people without ill effect. So at the first sign of a cold, before you do anything else, take Bayer aspirin. When you buy, ask for Bayer aspirin, not just for aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the insured Jewels murder case. When Irene Bradford tried to arrange a fake robbery of her fabulous jewels to collect the insurance, she gave them to her friend Lyle Martin. But a short time later, near the home of Ambrose Benedict, a notorious receiver of stolen goods, Lyle was found murdered and the jewels are missing. Now Mr. Chameleon is questioning Joan Martin, the murdered man's widow, and she is saying...
The person who killed Lyle was Irene Bradford, and before I've finished, I'll prove it.
How, Mrs. Martin?
When my husband Lyle was here with the jewels this afternoon, Mr. Chameleon, he told me he was going to meet Irene at the place he was pawning them, and I followed him there.
And saw him meet Irene Bradford?
Well, no, not exactly, but I'm sure Irene went there.
That's not evidence, Mrs. Martin. It's surmise. But it at least proves one thing.
What, Mr. Chameleon?
That you were on the scene of your husband's murder.
Looks like Ambrose Benedict's in no rush to answer his doorbell.
Here he comes now, Dave.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Comedian. I wasn't expecting you.
If you weren't, Benedict, it's because the criminal mind is taking a completely new turn.
Meaning what?
Concisely put, it looks like at long last the police have got you on a murder rap.
Put your cards on the table, Comedian. I'll look them over.
All right. You said you'd never heard of the murdered man, Lyle Martin. That's a lie.
Does that make me a murderer?
He came here with Irene Bradford's jewels.
Your cops have covered this house from cellar to garret, finding nothing. Reason? I haven't got them. I never had.
What's the deal that you had with Jeffrey Bradford or his wife for those jewels?
Who squealed, Comedian?
You're answering the questions, Benedict. And the way you answer marks the line between free air or a murder charge.
You're hooked nice and tight, Benedict.
That's right, Dave, he is. All right, Benedict, what's the answer?
The robbery was a frame-up. To collect the insurance on Mrs. Bradford's jewelry. And to sell the jewels, besides. But they never reached me. The guy that was bringing them here, Lyle Martin, was bumped off first.
By you?
Not by me, Chameleon. By some dame, accompanied by Jeffrey Bradford.
Who's the dame, Benedict?
Ask Bradford. He squealed once, Chameleon. He may do it again.
And you may have lied from beginning to end, Benedict. Come along, Dave.
Well, if you want my opinion, Mr. Chameleon.
No, I always do, Dave.
You put such a scare into Benedict that he told the truth.
Well, summing the whole thing up, we have put the murdered man's wife, Joan Martin, on the murder scene. And Benedict just put Jeffrey Bradford, and perhaps his wife, into the sack, too.
Well, if a dame did the job, I'm picking Irene Bradford. She's got the look.
I think we'll buzz over and have another go at her and her husband now, Dave. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Bradford, you'll both be pleased, I'm sure, to learn we've had the first break in the case.
Break, you say, Mr. Chameleon?
That's what Mr. Chameleon said, Jeffrey, dear.
We've recovered the first of your stolen jewels, Mrs. Bradford.
You've what?
Oh, I can't believe it. How marvelous.
This, emerald ring.
Where did you find it, Mr. Chameleon?
He probably got it away from that fence, Irene, Ambrose Benedict.
No. I got it from the murdered man's widow.
From Joan Martin? I can't believe it.
Yes, she told me that her husband, Lyle Martin, took it from the collection of jewels that you gave him, Mrs. Bradford, to dispose of for you.
Dispose of for me? Why, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Mr. Chameleon, I don't think it's as ridiculous as my wife says she thinks it is. I'm beginning to see it all now. She and Lyle Martin were making a fool of me.
Really, Mr. Bradford?
Well, they staged a phony jewel robbery on me, didn't they? Isn't that enough, Mr. Chameleon?
It might be, if I hadn't obtained evidence that you were on the scene of the murder with a woman.
If you're trying to plant Lyle Martin's murder on me and his wife Joan, Mr. Chameleon, you've got a long way to go.
Oh, you were at the murder scene, Bradford. That's all I wanted to know at present.
Mr. Chameleon.
Yes, Irene.
Has Joan Martin got the rest of my jewels? Well, she must have. You already got one piece, this emerald ring, away from her.
Well, if she has, it puts the murder squarely up to her and your husband.
I'll admit I was at the murder scene, Mr. Chameleon. But I didn't kill Lyle any more than you did.
If you didn't murder him, what were you doing there, Bradford?
Because
what?
Because I overheard my wife, Irene, and him tearing up this apartment and setting the scene for a fake robbery.
Go on.
I found the address of Ambrose Benedict, the fence, on that piece of paper you took from me. So I followed Lyle Martin to get the jewels back. To catch you with the goods on him.
Then you killed him?
No. No, he was dead when I got there.
Mr. Chameleon, I hate my husband, and with good reason. But believe me, he is not a killer. I've been his wife for 8 years, and I know him better than you or anyone else will ever know him.
Irene, if I told you that I knew where your stolen jewels were and offered to recover them for you, would you still stick to that statement?
To my dying day, Mr. Chameleon.
And the following morning, we see Mr. Chameleon in his office at police headquarters talking to Detective Dave Arnold, as he says,
"The answer to this case rests with who has the jewels. The ones Lyle Martin was carrying to Benedict's when he was murdered."
The commissioner put over 200 of our best men on the job of finding them, and not a glimmer. They must be buried.
Buried?
You know what I mean, Mr. Chameleon.
The murdered man's widow, Joan, could have them.
Sure.
So could Ambrose Benedict, or Jeffrey Bradford.
Or his wife, Irene, Mr. Chameleon.
Mm. Dave, you remember a character named Bull Spink?
Well, sure, he used to be one of Ambrose Benedict's crew, but they're on the outs now.
That gives me the flash, Dave.
You're going to disguise yourself as Bull Spink?
Exactly, Dave. And as Bull Spink, I think I'll get the murderer. It's my only chance.
And a short time later, we see Mr. Chameleon, disguised as a particularly odious character, Bull Spink, and speaking in his disguised voice to the fence, Ambrose Benedict, as he says,
"Hi, Benny. You weren't looking to see me, were you? Meeting an old pal should make you happy."
"What do you want, Spink? I told you I was done with you."
"I just dropped in to get my cut on the Bradford jewels. I settled for $5,000 since we were old pals, okay?"
"Try the next street, Bull. I haven't got 'em."
"The cops say you have, pal. Just aching to hear you sizzle in the chair. $5,000 is cheap to keep from frying, pal."
"When the day comes, you can keep me from the chair, Bull. I'll be ready to fry." Here's $10. Now get out before I turn you over to the cops.
All right, pal. So long. Happy frying. Happy frying.
And a few minutes later, still in his disguise as Bull Spink, we hear Mr. Chameleon confronting Jeffrey Bradford, as he says.
That's right, Mr. Bradford. Bull Spink is the name.
Who sent you here? Who sent you? Tell me.
No cause for violence, Mr. Bradford. No cause. Nothing to hide. See, that's my nature. Ask anybody about Bull Spink.
I asked you once. Who sent you here?
Maybe your partner in a murder. Guy that I work for. Ambrose Benedict.
Benedict is a crook and a criminal.
Oh, ain't you? You bumped Lyle Martin, didn't you? I'm not sensitive on things like that. I bumped a few myself. All I want is $5,000 for keeping quiet.
I've got another way to keep you quiet.
Easy, pal. Easy, easy. Does it. I also want the jewels that you're trying to collect insurance on. Me and my boss, Benedict, we want them. And quick, otherwise we're throwing you the chameleon.
Those jewels are mine, and I haven't got them.
They're in this house, Bradford. Come through, pal. Come through.
Jeffrey, who is this man?
Name of Bull Spink, ma'am. You're Mrs. Bradford, ain't you?
I heard you trying to blackmail my husband. Leave or I'll call the police.
All I'm asking is $5,000 and the jewels. It's cheaper to price.
For the last time, get out or I'll call the police. Call them, Jeffrey.
You don't have to call the police, Irene. I am the police.
Jeffrey, it's Mr. Chameleon in disguise.
What if he is? I haven't got the jewels.
Suppose you step away from that box of growing plants, Mrs. Bradford.
Plants? What plants?
The ones where you've got the jewels buried. The jewels for which you murdered Lyle Martin. Dave, quick!
Right here, Mr. Chameleon.
Grab it, Dave.
Let me go. Let me go!
Stay quiet, baby. Don't make me hurt you.
I've got a cover, Dave. Now pull up those plants.
Wow! What do you think? The jewels?
I didn't hide them there, Mr. Chameleon. My husband did.
The way I caught on to you, Irene, was that every time I came in this room, you always backed up to that box of plants. Well, you may as well tell me why you killed Lyle Martin and have it over with. You haven't a chance in a million.
Well, after I gave him the jewels, my woman's instinct told me he was weak. I knew if he was ever cornered, he'd break and put me on the spot. So I met him in front of Benedict's and killed him.
And took the jewels. All right, that's all, Dave. Charge you with murder. And credit yourself for solving the case.
Credit myself, Mr. Chameleon?
When you said buried at headquarters, that gave me the flash, Dave.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. Have you ever tried breaking an aspirin tablet to give your children the dosage your doctor has prescribed? If you have, then you'll appreciate the new children-sized Bayer aspirin tablets. These tablets are genuine Bayer aspirin, but they contain only half the amount of the regular-sized Bayer aspirin tablets. Thus, you can give your child the proper dosage as prescribed by your physician, and you can do it conveniently, too. Because when you use children-sized Bayer aspirin tablets, you need give only one tablet, for each of them is full dosage. Another thing you'll appreciate is that they are uncolored and unflavored and therefore cannot be mistaken for candy. You can use them with confidence. For the fact that doctors prescribe Bayer aspirin single active ingredient even for the smallest children shows how gentle and dependable it is. The bottle and carton are plainly marked children's size Bayer aspirin. 30 tablets for 25 cents. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The High Cost of Living Murder Case. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Frank Hummert, from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Teeth that are really clean, free of decay breeding deposits and film, actually resist decay. That's why the only sensible way to help prevent tooth decay is to keep your teeth thoroughly clean at all times. And there's no dentifrice you can get that cleans teeth like powder. It's the best way that you can get your teeth really clean. Famous Dr. Lyons tooth powder almost instantly helps remove the deposits and film that are breeding places for bacteria that cause tooth decay. So to help prevent decay before it gets started, to whiten and brighten your teeth beautifully, use either regular or ammoniated Dr. Lyons tooth powder.
Listen for Mr. Chameleon in The High Cost of Living Murder Case next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Okay, so let me get this straight. And I did go back to listen again to her explaining the motive. Her woman's intuition told her that her boyfriend would go weak, so she took the jewels back and killed him based on her intuition. I mean, we're going with that, apparently. Women's intuition as a murder motive. I mean, I'm trying to imagine, like, how that came about. I mean, wasn't a case where the Humberts were talking this over and, you know, Frank says, okay, so I'm writing the dialogue for Mr. Chameleon, and what should the motive be? And Anne just sits back and says, okay, here it is. She was sitting in the apartment thinking, and she found herself suddenly unsure. Would he really follow through or not? So she raced to the scene and found him outside of the house, shuffling his feet like a nervous little boy, holding the jewels, her jewels. And she noticed one missing, one that he'd given to his wife. And then she saw it right there. He realized that she had been a fool. He hated him, but more than anything, she hated herself. He hated herself for misjudging him. And saw right there that he was a weak, cowardly man, unworthy of her, unworthy of her affections, unworthy to live. And so she killed him. You got all that, Frank? Oh, sure, honey, I've got it. Anne walks away. And Frank types, my women's intuition told me he was weak. Now, of course, what I said is a bit over the top. Okay, maybe a little bit more than a bit. But shortening it down to my woman's intuition told me is just a little bit silly. That said, Nice Disguise by Carl Swenson. I'm not sure the logic of the way it was used or why it was used on everyone it was, but hey, Carl Swenson got to do a voice and got to do more of it than he typically does. Now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day, and I want to go ahead and thank Joel. Joel has been one of our Patreon supporters since all the way back in August of 2015, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thanks so much for your support, Joel. And that will actually do it for today. If you are enjoying this podcast, I do encourage you to rate and review it wherever you download your podcast from. But that will do it for today. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of Mr. Chameleon. But join us back here tomorrow for The Man Called X, where...
how to do, I'm sure. I'm looking for a Mr. Santos. Would you be, by any chance, be him at... like I was saying, I got here a beautiful deluxe edition of a Bible that's worth maybe $50,000. Hey, why do you sit there looking at me like that, huh? Why do you... Oh, you're dead. You're dead. You let me out of here. Let me... Help! That's all I know, Mr. X. I walk in, this Santa's joker is dead. And I'm left holding the bag.
What happened to Grisha?
Well, that double-crossing no good was gone. Haven't seen hide of him since. So, what do you think, Mr. X? Is that Bible worth 50 grand, like Grisha said?
No.
I knew it.
No, I'd say it was worth about 10 million.
Oh, sure, that's what I thought. It's only worth a lousy 10 million. 10!
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.